Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into the fastest 60 minutes of sports. 10:02 in the morning. I am your host, Vinnie Moore. Welcome aboard the ride one more time. Now, normally we would have played this wonderful little, you know, what is Power and the Glory or something fun along that lines. But hang on a second. What does that say? A file's required. Hey, wait a minute. Glitches early in the morning. Is that fun or what? All right, cool. All right, guys, let's see. This weekend, the fastest 60 minutes of sports, fired me, rumbling too fast. You've got week 8 in the National Football League. You've got fantasy football on tap. You've got the college, lots of upsets yesterday in college football. Obviously, fun stuff coming around with Joe Paterno getting his 409th win yesterday. And I know most of you, again, have been on absolute edge trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen this week. There's some trap games out there for teams in the National Football League. There is, again, a plethora of things to concern yourself with if you're going to the window this weekend. But for those of you who need a quick minute to kind of gather yourself, it's okay. It's okay. All right, we're going to do this thing. We're going to be right back at you. Give us 1 to 2 minutes. We'll be ready to rock and roll with all your love for Week 8 of the National Football League, all your fantasy football talk. We'll even say congratulations to the St. Louis Cardinals for their 11th World Series win. Say bye-bye to the Texas Rangers. I told you they were going to be bridesmaids. Ha-ha! Anyway, I love the fact that some goofball at Fox decided to announce on Thursday that the Texas Rangers had won the World Series. We'll talk about that as well. Back in a minute. Now, roll one, check two, here we go, y'all, 60 minutes with your host, Vinnie Moore, fastest, 60 minutes in sports, NFL, MLB, NBA, he likes to talk about them, not all right now, fastest in sports, on your waves, right now, get it in. 619-639-4747. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes of sports with your host, Vinnie Moore. You got to love the intros. You got to love the love. It's a wonderful thing. I love that track, man. I'm in love with that. Anyway, Fast 60 Minutes Sports rolls on after this.
The sights of summer. Don't blink. They go fast. Summer's best event from Cadillac. This summer, you do have a choice. And the time is now.
So, still deciding between Verizon DSL and Comcast high-speed internet? Well, you should get the whole story.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to know, how fast is Verizon DSL?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On where you live.
On where I live? All right, well, do I pay less if I get a slower connection?
No.
You're kidding me.
Right. Now, let's hear that conversation with Comcast.
Hello, Comcast.
Yeah, hi. I'm curious. How much faster are you than Verizon DSL?
Oh, there's really no comparison, sir. With our 3-meg service, we're up to 3 times faster than Verizon 768K DSL. You see, we're a 100% pure broadband network.
So you guys really are the best.
Absolutely. We're the number one high-speed internet provider in America.
Wow, I almost made the wrong call. But I'm going with Comcast.
If you're looking for the best internet experience, make the right call. Comcast high-speed internet. Nothing else comes close.
Download speed compared to 768K DSL. Upstream limited to 256K. Many factors affect speed and actual speeds may vary. Call Comcast for pricing and service detail.
Back at it. That's the 60 Minutes of Sports rolls on with your look at college football. Yesterday, in the world of college ball, a couple of strange things, a couple of upsets. Fun things going on. Let's run down the list. Top 25. West Virginia hangs on against Rutgers 41-31. Texas rolls against KU 43-0. Auburn a 41-23 win over Mississippi. Number 22, Georgia takes care of Florida 24-20 in a really good game. ASU a 48-14 win over Colorado. ISU, now this one you didn't see coming. Iowa State beats Texas Tech 41-7. You definitely didn't see that coming. Number 19, Penn State, ekes one out against Illinois. And that was a really good game if you like defenses, a boring game if you like offenses. But in the end, I don't want to butcher his name, but Dykma? Yeah, anyway, kid, the kicker from Illinois, who had not missed all year long, misses a late field goal. Ball hits the right upright, and Penn State escapes with a 10-7 win. Number 18, Michigan, a 36-14 winner at home against Purdue. Number 17, Houston. Houston's getting some love. Puts up 73 on Rice, 73-34 in that one. That's called a beatdown. I don't know how else to put that one. So the 17th rank Houston Houston Cougars take care of business. Number 16, Texas A&M loses to Missouri 38-31. It was also a very good game. Ohio State upsets Wisconsin. Number 15 falls. Again, a week ago, Wisconsin was in the top 10, roughly around number 6 or 7. They fall back to 15 after last week's loss to Michigan State, now lose again to Ohio State. And again, a very, very entertaining game. Ohio State gets it done 33-29. Number 13, South Carolina takes care of the Vols 14-3. Va Tech, a 14-10 winner over Duke, which was a terribly, boring game, but again, Va Tech gets it done. Number 14, Nebraska takes care of number 11, Michigan State, 24-3, so there'll be some shifting in that 10-20 ranking area. Arkansas, 31-28 winner over Vanderbilt, which is, again, a very, very good game. That game could have gone either way. Vanderbilt did everything right in that game except win the game. Number 9, Oklahoma, after the shocking loss last week, goes out there and beats an undefeated Kansas State team, puts it on them, 58-17. Number 7, Oregon, slowly but surely climbing back into the BCS picture, a 43-28 winner over Washington State. Number 6, Stanford, in three overtimes, takes out USC. That game was back and forth and back and forth, and I saw the replay at the end of regulation when the young man was trying to get out of bounds. His knee went down. The referee's waving his arms. There still should have been a second left, but it does not go that way. USC and Lane Kiffin do not get that call. They don't get it to go their way. It goes into overtime, and in the overtime, in the third overtime, Matt Barkley's pass gets picked up. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I take that back. A McKnight fumble kicked into the end zone, recovered by Stanford, is how the game actually ends. So in three overtimes, Stanford takes care of business. 56-48 is the final as the number 6 Stanford Cardinals stay undefeated. Georgia Tech takes out the once undefeated Clemson Tigers 31-17. This was a trap game for Clemson. Some people think they might have been looking past it, and they ran into that option offense that Georgia Tech runs, and before you know it, number 5 goes down. Number 3, the Oklahoma State Cowboys just roll over Baylor. This game started off like it was going to be really kind of good back and forth as Robert Griffin and the Baylor Bears look like they had a plan for it. But Oklahoma State gets it going with Justin Blackman, and before you know it, it is 59-24. That's your final. Number 1, number 2, that's Alabama and LSU had the night off because they will meet next week. So if you're Oklahoma State, you're sitting in the catbird seat because you can't wait for one of these guys to fall because you're just sitting there with, God knows how many points a game. Blackman and all the talent at Oklahoma State, they're about to be ranked 1 or 2 after next weekend's game. I don't even know how it is remotely possible Oklahoma State doesn't even get this shot. I really don't. And as you kind of look back down the scan of things, if number 6 Stanford, which would obviously jump Clemson in this with Clemson's loss. I don't know where Boise fits into the grand scheme of thing if Boise's sitting at number 4, but somewhere along the line, it's going to come down to, assuming LSU wins, it'll be LSU 1, Oklahoma State 2. You don't know where Alabama's going to fall. They could easily wind up in 4. Boise may be literally being pushed down the ranking because of an Alabama loss should Alabama lose to LSU next week. However, if Alabama wins, and let's say they win big and LSU has to kind of take it on the chin, the biggest benefactors would be then Stanford and Oregon, who then would simply just move up the tier. I cannot see Oregon getting past 5, even if an LSU loses. I can, however, see Stanford leap Boise, and that would be just some fun, interesting stuff for those of you who are in the college football world. Other things going on in sports, let's see. We're going to get you ready for your NFL Week 8. That's the second half. From the USC, we'll just get you a little bit of love from the mixed martial arts world, because I understand that there was a UFC 137 last night, and our buddy Penn may be done after losing to Diaz in what would be a UFC 137 last night. Let's see what we can find on that real quick, guys. Do what you can. Give me some insight on that situation. Where are we at? That men's basketball is coming. We don't need to touch on that just yet. I did get a chance to see the blue and orange game out of the University of Illinois. If and I'm drawing a blank on his name now. Miles, the big 7-1 center from the small school downstate, is there the big 7-1 guy that can actually run the floor? Is a great passer. Anyway, Miles Leonard, thank you. Alongside Tracy Abrams, who's going to be the freshman guard this year. Illinois is going to be fun to watch. Of course, Ohio State is going to be the big team to be concerned with in the Big Ten. So, you know, we'll have to see kind of how that plays itself out. But if you're a purist and you're a true sports fan, you can't wait to see college basketball this year. You're going to see a lot of fun things. I don't know who's got the best draft class. Kentucky's always good. I know Louisville's going to have a tremendous amount of talent. I forget the young man's name that came out of Morgan Park. But, yeah, he's going to be something special to watch as well. So for the NBA fans, guys, I don't know what to tell you. They can't seem to sort that one out to save their souls. You know, negotiations are still continuing. You know, you got David Stern, who is now being touted more along the lines of the old plantation owner kind of guy. That's not going to go very well. You know, as much as purists of the game were trying to say, hey, what do I need to make my team better? It would just be nice to see to know that your team was actually going to, you know, get on the court. You know, the idea that Mark Cuban is out there now trying to consider, you know, proposing that they dump the salary cap across the board and maybe the 50-50 split works. Well, I don't know. Again, right now we know for a fact that there are no NBA games through November the 30th, which means there won't be an 82-game season. So, again, Billy Hunter, I would hate to say that he's going to be kind of, you know, the fall guy if this, you know, if the union cannot get it all kind of back together. But David Stern right now is being tagged kind of as that plantation owner, trying to get his boys to kind of just play nice in the sandbox, and that's just not happening right now. So, yeah, again, that's about as much as I'm going to give you on the NBA at 10:14 on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. No real love. It's an absolute shame. It's an absolute disaster. David Stern and the cronies and the people involved up there just can't figure it out. And for what it's worth, I don't think they have a desire to truly figure it out. I really don't. I don't. And that's an absolute shame because it could have been easily so much more. That's a little old, but Tom McNeely, the old boxer, Tom McNeely Jr., dies at 74 years old. For those of you who've got HBO, follow 24/7 Pacquiao Marquez. That's going to get started here pretty quickly. Mayweather Ortiz fight drives 1.25 million buys on the pay-per-view. A lot of people actually looking for, some of you just want to see Floyd Mayweather just get knocked out. Now, I hate to say that. They really do. They want to see Money Mayweather go down. And then there are those who basically say, you know, get up off, you know, Mayweather. He's pound for pound the best fighter in the game. He continues to show it. Even when it seems like he's not on his game completely, he always finds a way to get it done. So, again, say what you want to about the guy. He just gets it done. Now, we mentioned earlier, and I'm trying to find this, UFC 137, pins lost to Diaz. He winds up winning it by decision over BJ Penn, which means his next shot would be against George St. Pierre. So that's, I mean, again, not a whole lot to tell you about the mixed martial arts. You know, we do follow it from time to time when there's something exciting going on. But, you know, for what it's worth, BJ Penn probably is going to hang it up after this. You know, he says he's done after the loss last night. And you see a lot of guys in mixed martial art literally just hanging it up. Again, that's obviously a very violent way to make your money. Again, it is what it is, and hopefully those guys, you know, they're doing as much as they can, obviously, to protect their athletes, you know, and it's a violent sport, and, you know, for whatever the reason, our desire as a nation for the violence of our sports has always been somewhat amazing to me. You know, basketball was supposedly to be the soft game. Now we're finding out that, you know, the game, when it's played to the hardest, highest level, it certainly isn't so soft, and you've got, as Joakim Noah used to call Dwight Howard, King Kong down in the paint. So there again, you kind of get an idea that now the game is not all pro sports of all kinds certainly carry some level of risk. You know, the load on your body, the load on your mentality. It's always going to be incredibly, incredibly challenging. So such is the case, obviously, with those of us who've been fortunate in this life to have played a sport of any kind at the highest level. You know, the funny thing for someone like me who gets the blessing to talk about sports, you know, every day or throughout the week, gets to be the guru of a lot of different fantasy leagues and gets a lot of questions about, you know, this matchup or that matchup, is to be able to sit back and just kind of admire the talents of so many great athletes. You know, there's always the sad stories. I mean, like, again, we most recently ESPN had a special on the enforcers in the NHL, and that's obviously a nice segue as we get into the NHL as well. But the enforcers that have simply died as a result of their role in the game, I mean, their job is always to come out and to save or protect the 19-year-old scorers of the big time. I mean, Gretzky had enforcers throughout his career that protected him from those who would, you know, try to do the hard checks and do, you know, issue some type of pain to the stars. And so you've got the enforcer whose, you know, entire role is to come out there literally and protect that guy, often ending in the fight that, you know, basically, you know, concusses someone and gets someone in trouble. So for what it's worth, you know, it's rough, but nonetheless, we have an insatiable nature for these violent sports. Football, which is, again, the greatest game America has, but it's a violent game. Boxing is violent. Mixed martial arts is incredibly violent, and there's always going to be injury. There's always going to be hurt, ache, and pain. You know, I think gone are the days when you just see that kind of fluff sport where you just admire someone's talents, and someone's talents are just more than someone else's, and we all just kind of go home saying, you know, wow, who's going to be the next great whatever? And there's so many X factors. I mean, injury is a wonderful equalizer, and it's a sad thing to say that that's how we as a nation feels, but that is the ultimate equalizer a lot of times. You know, he's getting old now. His body breaks down. He's got an ankle. He's got a knee. He's got a back. You know, and you got guys with the average shelf life of the running back in the National Football League is what, 3.5 years, maybe 4? You know, so, again, but we have an insatiable nature. And, of course, we love our teams, no matter where they are, what sport they are. I guess the one thing you do tend to see a lot of, though, is in the sport of baseball. While it is hard, they say the hardest thing in the world to do is to hit a 95-mile-an-hour, you know, baseball coming at you, you know, with movement, obviously. Is the fact is when that wooden bat makes contact with that baseball and it now becomes, you know, just that spheroid that's flying through the air, that thing is deadly. Okay, that ball either coming at your dome or in the air soaring. Again, we're cheering because Albert Pujols hits 3 home runs in the World Series. Well, and thankfully it doesn't happen a lot in this game, but, you know, we've all seen the line drives off the bat that's gone back and knocked a pitcher out. We've always seen the jerk, you know, the ball that's been pulled down the line and the third baseman takes one on the chin or in the eye. And I don't want to put these graphic images in your head. I really don't. At 10:19 on the fastest 60 minutes of sports, thanks for hanging out with me. I'm not even sure how we wind up going down this road. But anyway, we have an insatiable nature for our sports. And even you just have to look at the WWE to really kind of get a feel for our insatiable nature for combat and violence. And as a nation where we're at, we like this stuff. We do. The WWE, albeit staged, is as violent of a message as you're going to get. Mano a mano, lots of cheating, lots of broken bones, a lot of this. And, you know, unique enough, when these big guys, as big as they are, 6 foot whatever, you know, half an ounce of body fat on them, ripped to the nines, they can barely touch their heads. I mean, and then you have, of course, the other side of the equation is when these guys are, you know, tapping other synthetic drugs to try to make themselves bigger, whether it's roids or HGH or whatever, and then the mood swings that come from all that, and the different side effects that come from them. Before you know it, you've got an actual mess on your hands. And, you know, see Chris Benoit for the latest son, unfortunately, where, you know, he basically loses it and can't control his thing and ultimately commits suicide. It's just a sad state of affairs. But that's enough talk about that. It's 10:21, fastest 60 minutes of sports. We got fantasy football to talk about. We got Major League Baseball still to talk about. We could actually touch on some tennis, but why? we could touch on a few things. But, you know, first and foremost, we'll tell you what, let's talk a little bit of NHL hockey first, because my Blackhawks are off to a great start, taking care of business last night with a 5-2 win. Ottawa, 5-4 win over the New York Rangers. Florida, 3-2 win over Buffalo. Toronto, a 4-3 win over Pittsburgh. Montreal, a 4-2 win over the Bruins. San Jose, a 3-2 win over the Islanders. The Flyers, a 5-1 win over Carolina. Tampa Bay, a 1-0 win over Winnipeg. It's always fun to say Winnipeg, isn't it? Tampa Bay, a 1-0 win over Winnipeg. Nashville, a 3-0 win over Anaheim. Minnesota's a 1-0 win over the Red Wings. Dallas, a 3-1 winner over the Devils. The Coyotes, a 3-2 win over the Kings. Vancouver, a 7-4 winner over the Capitals. that's it for your National Hockey League scoreboard from last night. You know, hockey is always great. If you're a purist in hockey and you love the game, enjoy it. It's a beautiful game, albeit violent as ever. It's still a beautiful game. But hockey doesn't really get good until the last few games of the regular season, and certainly playoff hockey is absolutely the best. It is absolutely the best. You know, and I kind of feel bad for Luongo, our buddy up there in Vancouver. Anytime Vancouver is down, it's always Luongo. No matter what it is, this guy could be eating a meal with his family at home, and somebody breaks a nail, and it's Luongo's fault. Everything up there is his fault. And I know that feeling. I do know that feeling, but that's just not the reality of the situation. So certainly we hope we wish the best for Vancouver. They did win last night 7-4. It's early on in the world of the NHL. You know, we'll see what happens. We will definitely see exactly how this all plays out. It's nice to see the Toronto Maple Leafs getting better again. Phil Kessel, 10th goal of the season, of course, leads the Leafs over the Penguins last night. Let me take a look at the standings in the NHL. We know the Blackhawks are off to a very, very good start. Pittsburgh is 8-3, leading the Atlantic. Toronto 7-2. The Caps are 7-2. The Hawks are 6-2-3. I'm sorry, that's 6-2. Where's the ties? 6-2-2. Thank you very much. Edmonton 6-2. Dallas 8-3. I don't know how much of you guys have gotten a chance to actually watch a little bit of hockey this year, but and you know it's only 5, 10, 15. There are 30 teams in hockey. Somehow I had this in my mind that we weren't at 30 teams, but for whatever reason that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I'd like to see it. You'd think the NHL would go to the NBA and say, look at our business model. Okay, this is how we've made it work. Now, again, and I haven't looked at any NHL books to see if they're solvent, if they're in any kind of trouble, but you know, all indications are that the NHL is in good space, and this is with small market teams. We're talking about small market teams, and when I say small, I'm talking about Columbus. Detroit is, of course, it is a hotbed heaven for hockey, so that doesn't really count. But Minnesota has been a stalwart for years, but that's not the biggest market. Where's the other one? Nashville, not a big market at all, but that team is 5-4-1, playing well. And guess what? If they're able to fill a stadium with hockey fans, God bless them, because they've got it. They seem to have it figured out. They're able to at least go out here, have their season, play their games. You know, make the money. Players are making money. Owners are making money. Fans are in the seat. You got butts in seats. What else do you want? What else do you want? That's the beautiful situation. All right, real quick before we get into some of our friends from ESPN, let's give you a little bit of men's basketball love. The rankings have come out this week, the preseason rankings before we actually get it rock and roll for real. And I got to tell you something. If you thought that North Carolina wasn't going to get back on top anytime soon, welcome to the party, because AP top 10. ESPN coaches poll, all that fun stuff is out. Let's run down your top 10s. First, the ESPN USA poll. Number 10 right now, Florida. Number 9, Memphis. Number 8, Louisville. 7 is Vandy. 6 is Duke. 5, Syracuse. 4 is Connecticut. 3, Ohio State, which gets a lot of love to be number 1. Number 2, Kentucky. Number 1, North Carolina. On the AP top 25 side in college basketball, number 10 coming in the gate is Pittsburgh. Number 9, Louisville. Number 8, Florida. Number 7, Vanderbilt. 6 is Duke. 5, Syracuse. 4, Connecticut. 3, Ohio State. 2, Kentucky. 1, North Carolina. How does Boeheim do it? That's all I want to know. How does he do it? Yeah, someone needs to get that guy's formula and figure it all out, because that's going to be something special to watch as well. Now, the one thing I do not see on this list, and it's going to be really interesting to see exactly how this plays out, I don't see a lot of Big Ten squads. I see Wisconsin. They're going to be good again. I see Michigan at 18. I don't think Michigan's going to be better than Illinois. But, again, we'll certainly wait and see. California's down 24. Missouri's down 25. No love for Illinois. Wow. Someone's not paying attention to the draft class. But you know what? That's why you play the game. So it's not going to make a difference. Oh, I see it on the AP 25 side. Illinois did get some love probably around 27, 28. At this point, and I'll be the first one to tell you, that's all driven by that tremendous draft class they've got coming in this year. All right, so much for that. We got some fantasy football to get into. We got our buddies from ESPN, the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blocks coming your way shortly. And all this. Okay, that was weird. What just did something just fall? Something just went exploding in the ears of your host here. Not sure what that means, but we're not going to worry about it. Why? Because I'm Vinny Moore, and you're not. All right, anyway, rock and roll. We'll move on. We'll be back after this.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Sweet Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
I want to discuss something important.
Is it about New Orleans football?
You know it. You're listening to the St. Stephen Show with me and St. Bernard.
Well, yeah, who that?
I have a question about Carolina.
Who that? Drew Brees!
Oh, yeah.
Stuck in a bad relationship with sports radio? Switch to ESPN Radio for the best sports on the dial.
All right. Who's that? Dirk Nowitzki.
No, you're good.
Okay. Who's this?
Terry Strug.
We've all dreamed of going back in time, stepping into a machine and going back hundreds of years. Well, there is a place where time travel is possible. The Henry Ford, America's greatest history attraction. Here, time travel happens every day. Here, we spend time with famous inventors and the ordinary people who proved they could do extraordinary things. We can read the textbooks, we can look it up online. But history is more than where we've been. It's how we got to be who we are. Here we can touch it, walk around in it, relive it. Let's watch history come alive at Greenfield Village. Marvel at the magic of invention at Henry Ford Museum. Or take a first-hand journey through American genius on the Ford Rouge factory tour. So let's take a step back in time, because knowing where we come from is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Okay, that was wild. Did you hear that? It was pure and it went blank. Welcome back on the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. That's the number to call if you want to join in this crazy conversation. Anyway, let's talk some fantasy sports with all those of you who want to know what the rankings are going to be this time around.
You are spectacular.
Very good. Rock and roll. And the quarterbacks, number 10 this week. Actually, we're looking. Wait a minute. Timeout. That's the wrong roll. That's the wrong roll. Give me the right stuff. Right stuff. Now. Thank you. Number 10, your quarterback. San Diego's Phillip Rivers comes in at number 10 this week. Number 9, Matt Schaub. Number 8, Tony Romo. Number 7, Eli Manning going up against the Dolphins. Number 6, Ben Roethlisberger going up against New England. Number 5, Matt Stafford against Denver. Number 4, Michael Vick going up against Dallas. Number 3, Tom Brady gets Pittsburgh. I don't know about that one, but he has owned them for a while. Number 2, Cam Newton up against Minnesota. And number 1 this week, Drew Brees out of the New Orleans Saints. Why? Because he's going up against the St. Louis Rams. All right, let's turn now to your running backs. Oh, I need a soundbite so badly. I need a soundbite so badly. That was a perfect cue. I laid it up for you.
And now, you contemptible harpy, I shall end your oppressive reign of matriarchal tyranny.
No, no. Number 10, Chris Johnson, the Tennessee Titans, hopefully gets it going against the Indianapolis Colts. Number 9, Maurice Jones-Drew, Jacksonville goes up against Houston. Number 8, Ahmad Bradshaw. Number 7, Ryan Matthews. Number 6, Frank Gore. Number 5, Shaney LaShawn McCoy. Number 4, Ray Rice gets Arizona. That should be good. Number 3, Freddie Jackson, not the singer, but the running back, going up against the Washington Redskins. Number 2, Arian Foster, going up against Jacksonville. And number 1, as is often the case, Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota the Vikings going up against Carolina's vaunted defense. You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Hey guys, our system just froze. How'd that happen? We got more to do. We got more to do. What the heck just happened? We froze. Oh, we're unfroze. Okay, fine. We're unfroze. We're unfroze. We're good. Well, we think we're unfroze. Yeah, we're good. No, I think we're... Nope, we're good. We're good. They're the wide receivers, number 10 this week. Larry Fitzgerald, Arizona, goes up against Baltimore. Number 9, Dwayne Bowe, goes up against San Diego. Number 8, Vincent Jackson, goes up against Kansas City. Number 7, Marcus Colston, gets the Rams. Number 6, Andre Johnson, gets Jacksonville. Number 5, Hakeem Nicks, gets the Miami Dolphins. Number 4, Steve Smith, gets Carolina. Carolina goes up against Minnesota. Number 3, Wes Welker gets Pittsburgh. Number 2, Mikey Wallace gets New England. And number 1, Megatron himself, Calvin Johnson, gets Denver. So there you go. And I have a feed in my head, and I'm not sure what it is or who it is, but I'm not going to worry about it. We're going to continue to roll on. Well, let's see. Let's roll back here. What's going on? What are we doing here? Nothing there, nothing there, nothing there, nothing there, nothing there. All right. Nothing there. So move on to the tight ends. This week, number 10 through number 1 in your tight end, Greg Olsen, the Carolina Panthers, gets Minnesota. Number 9, Brandon Pettigrew of Detroit goes up against Denver. That should be good. Number 8, Vernon Davis, the Niners, gets Cleveland. Like that one. Number 7, Gronkowski, one of Brady's favorite targets, goes up against Pittsburgh. Number 6, Owen Daniels. How does New England do this? Every week we do these top-ranking positions for Fantasy Love. New England, they don't just get one tight end. They get two in here. Number 5, Aaron Hernandez, number 5 out of New England against Pittsburgh. Number 4, Freddie Davis, the Redskins against Buffalo. Number 3, Antonio Gates out of San Diego goes up against KC. Number 2, Jason Witten takes on Philadelphia. Number 1, for God knows what, 3-4 weeks in a row now, Jimmy Graham, the New Orleans tight end, goes up against St. Louis. Now, again, 6-year teams on buys this week. Represent 6 winning teams, so there aren't really a lot of fun, big-time popular games out here, but hey, good football is good football, and we're going to try to find you some today. So your kickers, number 10 this week, Alex Henry. You haven't heard that name all year long. Why? Because Philadelphia hasn't been that good. Anyway, he get Dallas today. Number 9, Alindo Mari, who gets Minnesota. Number 7, Steven Gostkowski of the Patriots. He gets Pittsburgh, of course. Number 7, Nick Novak out of San Diego gets Kansas City. Number 6, Neil Rackers. Number 5, David Akers. Number 4, Danny Bailey, kicking for Dallas. Number 3, Billy Cundiff. Number 2, John Casey, the Saints up against the Rams. And number 1, out of Detroit and in Denver, Jason Hansen. And now to the most important role in the fantasy world this weekend. Which defense will you start? What will it be? Which way will you go? Which way shall you go on the defensive side of the ball? I shall tell you. Number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles up against Dallas. Looking for some stuff from Asante Samuel this week. You might just get it. Number 9, the Dallas Cowboys going up against Philly. An aggressive defense playing up against a turnover-prone Philadelphia Eagles team. Why not? Number 8, the Tennessee Titans. They get the Indianapolis Colts, and who knows who's throwing the peg this week. Number 7, the Cincinnati Bengals. Got to love that one. That's an opportunistic defense going up against a not-too-talented Seattle squad. Number 6, the Houston Texans. Number 5, the Detroit Lions. Up against Tebow and the Broncos? Yeah, okay, we'll see about that one. Number 4, the New York Giants up against the Miami Dolphins. Number 3, the Niners against Cleveland. I actually like that one. Number 2, the Saints up against the Rams. And number 1 this weekend, there's really no reason to think they wouldn't be, the pissed off, highly motivated Baltimore Ravens defense against the, well, I guess Beanie Wells may actually try to play, but the running backless Arizona Cardinals this week. And that is your love for your fantasy positions for week 8 in the National Football League. Anything else that's fun there? Okay, we're going to do a quick little segue because we got to talk a little Major League Baseball. Again, Cards complete the improbable run, winning the 11th World Series in that team's career. You know, the hometown kid, Freeze, wins the World Series MVP. And I got to give a little sympathy love to my son, who was really, really rooting for the Texas Rangers, probably for all the wrong reasons. His hope was that the Rangers would win the World Series, and then, of course, that Pujols would go into free agency and ultimately become a member of the Chicago Cubs. No, it's probably not going to happen now, notwithstanding the fact that the Cardinals have now won the World Series. You know what really actually sucks if you're a Cubs fan is Ryan Terrio. You know, long-time Cub for a lot of years. He's got a ring now. Oh, that's got to pain you in the tuchus to no end. Ryan Terrio, who even when he went to the Cardinals said he was on the right side of the Robin, just said all the wrong things. He's even rubbed a few Cardinal fans the wrong way. This guy's got a ring now. You know what? Ryan, the Riot Terrio, was a really, really popular Cub when he was here. It's just a shame that obviously that you know he could have maybe learned to keep his mouth shut and then could have actually enjoyed it without so much fruiting because he's not a bad guy. Just made some bad decisions, said the wrong thing. But anyway, notwithstanding all that, let's talk about David Freese. This kid comes out of basically nowhere, shows up, him and Alan Craig, in this postseason, just protected Pujols in the lineup, did a great job. You couldn't have asked for, since something like this happened, a nicer set of guys. Again, the Cardinals are the Cardinals, and as Cub fans, we may not like them, but the reality is that's a good group of guys down there. They play hard. They play baseball. And, again, keep in mind, with 3 weeks left in the season, this team was, what, 9 games out, almost 10 games out of first place, you know, out of the wild card, and they have just gone on the improbable run. Go figure, getting into the playoffs first and foremost, getting the wild card, and that's all you – take a page right out of Theo Epstein's thing. That's all you got to do. You just got to get there. Anything can happen once you get there, and guess what? They got there, and now it's done. You know, they've won this thing. And so for what it's worth, congratulations to the St. Louis Cardinals on their 11th World Championship. Congratulations to Albert Pujols, who I think this is his second. First one he won it back in 06 so with him and Edmonds. But now you've got a situation where free agency is upon us, and teams will be looking certainly for talent all over the place. The question now is, you know, where will someone like a Prince Fielder go? Where will someone like Albert Pujols, if he opts not to stay in St. Louis, you know, what's the next move for him? You know, that again, some questions that certainly are going to need to be answered, again, relatively quicker. I can't imagine anybody sitting for long periods of time on the talents of a Prince Fielder or an Albert Pujols. So they're definitely going to have to make those moves quickly. I don't know what else is really, you know, those are the two hot names, obviously, in the hot stove, and that's going to get rocking and rolling here within the next, you know, 10 to 15 days. Do not be surprised if you see one of those big names land in the Chicago market. Now, whether that's Cubs or Sox is yet to be seen, but I would venture that the Cubs will be very, very active pursuing a Prince Fielder first and foremost, even more so than, say, an Albert Pujols, who I think as a whole baseball is looking forward to really just seeing him stay in St. Louis and retire as a St. Louis Cardinal. All that being said, it is time, ladies and gentlemen. It is 10:39. And let's see, what's 10:39? 10:41. So we got 9 minutes to fill. I don't necessarily need to do anything stupid or ignorant or crazy. We've touched on baseball. We've touched on UFC. We've touched on boxing. Let's see. We touched on college football. We touched on college men's basketball. We got a lot done in this hour. Yeah, it's amazing stuff. 10:39 for your morning. Let's get into some more entertaining things now. The last couple of weeks we've been sharing with you guys, you play to win the game, and you guys still continue to ask for it. So it's 3 minutes and 37 seconds out of your lives, courtesy of our friends over at Showtime, James Brown, DJ Steve Porter, who is the Yahoo sensation for mixing these things up. So here we go once again, guys. Enjoy it. You play to win the game, starring coaches in the National Football League, as well as Warren Sapp and James Brown. I'll tell you a little bit about it. Here we go.
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter.
Okay, that came out all kinds of weird. Let's try this one more time. See if we can get a maybe clear playback of this. Let's go, guys.
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter, here's our spin on...
You play to win the game.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. You start telling me, it doesn't matter. We retire. Get out. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively.
Okay, guys, we can't do that. I'm sorry. You can't play that. Guys, for those of you listening, let me apologize right now. I don't know what's going on with the audio, but if what I'm hearing in my ear is what's going out over the airways, guys, no, that you can't even understand anything that's going on with that, and that's not usually what happens when we do that. So thank you anyway, guys. Appreciate that. Guys, we'll have to re-rack that maybe another time and another week. Let's just hope that the rest of our audio is not coming out like that, because that was kind of bad.
Wake up, Leona! This decrepit Hooverville is infested with something besides idiots.
Well, that wasn't a bad test. You know, again, you ask someone to give me a test of what's really going on, see if we can find it. Let's try this one more time.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Wow. Okay, well, that doesn't quite come off the way you hope it does. Let's see if we can figure this thing out, guys. It is 10:41 for your Fast 60 Minutes of Sports Morning, Week 8 National Football League. Again, a lot of fun things going on. Have you guys heard the story of Darren Revelle? This is apparently the young man who made the mistake of announcing that the Texas Rangers had won the World Series. Watch coverage on Fox 4 News out of Dallas-Fort Worth. This was on Thursday night, October the 27th. It wound up. It's all over the internet. So if you want to say, if you just want to just find it, just simply go out there and find Texas Rangers win World Series. You'll see the clip out there. This has to be the most embarrassing moment for a broadcaster in that area, Darren Revelle. Again, highly respected broadcaster, just unfortunately got caught up, name tied to a bad situation. Again, if you're watching the World Series and it's Game 6 and you see Josh Hamilton hit that home run, you think it's 7-5, Cardinals are done, this one's toast, KD barred the door, it's over. And, of course, we all forgot to remind the world that there's more game to be played because David Freese comes in late on and winds up not only getting you the play to win the game, but also winds up hitting the walk-off home run at the end of the game. So, unfortunately, not a good situation, unfortunately, for the broadcasters and those who would take the leg of actually sticking their neck out there and saying that, indeed, this World Series was over. So, is what it is. Let's see. What else we got going on here? Let's see. We've got to close some things down here. So, that's that. We'll close that down. That's that. Again, congratulations to the Cardinals. I think we're back down to where we need to be, guys. And perhaps we just sucked up a little bit too much bandwidth, and that's why at 10:43 in the morning we had some quick little burps and blunders. I guess that's a nice way to say it, blurps and blunders. All right, let's try this, and we'll be back in a minute.
It's the Subway Steak and Cheese Sub. Hearty Italian bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on hearty Italian bread, but now with a bit of onion on it sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steaky cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting to panic here. So only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food, made the way you want it. We've got a sub for that.
All right, 10:44 for your fastest 60 minutes of sports. We appear to have resolved a few of the issues going on with a little bit of our technology. It seems like there's always seems to be something. Anyway, without further ado, from our friends over at ESPN Radio, here's Mike and Mike Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
The time has finally arrived.
Yes!
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
Whoopee!
ESPN Radio exclusive.
I call it, here we go, and for week 8, I am employing a never-before-used strategy, and that is, I am so far behind you, we're going head-to-head twice.
Head-to-head!
And we're going to begin in Pittsburgh.
They are the world's greatest mercenaries.
I'm going to go with a strategy that worked for me earlier this year. The only game the New England Patriots have lost was the time that I picked them to win and cover against the Buffalo Bills.
Tom Brady's fourth interception! It's a pick-six!
I need New England losses. I need them so badly, and my jinx is the only way in the world that's ever going to happen.
Are you crazy?
Give me the Patriots giving the 3 at Pittsburgh. I'll take New England by 3 touchdowns. Forget about 3 points, and I hope to God I'm wrong.
Reverse psychology is an awesome tool. You make someone think the opposite of what you believe, and that tricks them into doing something stupid. Works like a charm.
I have no idea what you just said, but let me ask you something. Did you pick New England?
Yes, I did.
All right, you're wrong, 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 and wrong.
You should be suffering from a pretty severe case of the where did I go wrongsies, but other than that, you're fine.
This game is in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh, as I said, is moving back up the charts.
Winning.
Getting their legs back. They're underdogs at home.
You're just not formidable enough to have ever earned my respect.
Are you serious? Please! New England has an awful defense. Big Ben is getting it rolling a bit. Pittsburgh gets the win.
You have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell.
And for our next head-to-head pick, what I'm going to tell you, Golic, is the key to life is admitting when you were wrong, knowing when you were wrong, and I'm telling you what.
What? What?
As unpopular as this is going to be in this room, I was wrong about the Cowboys.
Ah, zip it, egghead. You with your big words and your small, difficult words.
The best team in the NFC East is Dallas.
Oh, what's so? What?
No, what's O? You just said O.
No, I said O.
O, like, that's interesting, or O, like, we're screwed?
The Cowboys are coming here to Philly, and they're going to win on Sunday night. They're getting 3.5 points. This is going to be the beginning of their march to an NFC East championship.
Wow! These guys are good.
Very good.
I stake my knowledge as a prognosticator, of which I have none, on this fact. The Cowboys, +3.5, are going to win the game straight up.
Why is everyone here a little angry?
Again, I have no idea what you said. Who did you pick in this one?
I took the Cowboys.
You took the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Very well then.
Wrong. The city of brotherly love, the place where I spent most of my career stuffing my pie hole with cheesecake? Not a chance, my friend. Philadelphia, they are right up near the top in rushing. When have we seen that out of an Eagle team?
I don't know.
And they're going to keep it going against Dallas at home. They're giving 3.5. Go ahead and give 3.5. Give a touchdown if you want. Eagles win.
Fellas, stick around. We need to have a talk.
And then here we get Stone Cold Sledge.
Hi, Fox.
Listen up, you little bad boys. I know where you live and I've seen where you sleep. I swear to everything holy that your mothers will cry when they see what I've done to you.
Bobby boy. Mike and Mike and our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Boxer brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. Protect your ride no matter what you drive. When you peak, you win. Everyone in this room should be very happy. I didn't take the Eagles.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't jinx you. We went head-to-head on two games, New England-Pittsburgh. I've got the Patriots go like the Steelers. The spread is New England -3. Dallas and the Eagles. The Eagles are giving 3.5 points. I've got the Cowboys. Golic, the home team for the season. I'm 5-9.
You stink.
And Golic is 7-4-3.
I'm better.
And those really are two. There are a lot of really good
games. Yeah, there are.
On the schedule, but those are two.
Those
huge
are the headliners.
Games.
Yeah, those are absolutely the headliners.
And I don't think Sal was overstating it. We made this point earlier this week. This game between the Eagles and Cowboys will propel one of these teams in the right direction, and the other is going to have major questions. Right? Major. You can't say, even with 5 losses. Certainly with 4, which is what the Cowboys would have if they lose, you know, you're not done. But you put yourself in a position where you are really scrambling, and it's not even Halloween yet.
Yeah, you don't want to start looking at the scoreboard that early, but that's what you'd have to do. You start looking around at what's going on. You know, the Giants have Miami. You know, that should be a win for them. So you have to kind of assume that's going to happen. So they're going to get to 5-2. So, yeah, for Philadelphia, if they lose this one to go to 5 losses, that's an early mid-season then, but that's a decent-sized hole to be in.
We'll pick some of the other games a little later here. A few that I'm intrigued by. Buffalo-Washington, I think, is an interesting game. That game is being played, actually, in Toronto.
Right.
Detroit at Denver, which is Ndamukong Suh against Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. If Tim Tebow tries one of his spin moves and somehow it doesn't work, and he should ever spin himself directly into Ndamukong Suh, we may not have to have this Tebow conversation anymore.
No, that's called getting engulfed.
That guy.
Because he's not going to set you down gently.
No, he's not. He's going to land on you, and then if the rumors are true, he's going to have a little something to say about it while it happens.
Yeah.
I have to sort of recant something I said. At that time, I said, you know, it's a great week in the NFL. The truth is, those are two great games.
Right.
Most of the rest of it is not that great.
Not a lot of other good games. I'm with you.
I chose 3 games that I think otherwise have major national interest for a variety of different reasons for us to do here for some other picks. Mike, how about Minnesota at Carolina, because you get the two rookie quarterbacks.
Right.
Christian Ponder making his second start. We both like the way he looked in his first. Cam Newton, who you might have given the Rookie of the Year award right now, he's obviously been sensational. Carolina at home, a 3.5-point favorite. What do you think?
Cam Newton, do you believe that the rushing touchdown stat with him? It's just incredible. 7 rushing touchdowns, more than every other player in the league except Adrian Peterson. I mean, the guy has just been, he has been fantastic. I like the direction they're going in, and, you know, the Vikings getting their feet wet with Christian Ponder. I think I like Cam Newton at home in this one.
I'll go the other way. I like Minnesota. I liked what I saw last week. For the first time this year, they really let Adrian Peterson loose. And he dominated that game. And, you know, this isn't the Packers they're playing now.
No, it's not.
The Panthers. I don't care where the game is. I love Cam Newton, but I like Minnesota in this game getting 3.5. How about in Toronto, Mike, Washington at Buffalo? The Redskins are reeling. They make the switch now at quarterback. They're sort of desperately clinging. Buffalo, meanwhile, their 2 losses this year have each been incredibly close games. They're an eye blink away from being perfect. They're still chasing New England in the division. They're playing a home game in Toronto, if you will.
Right.
They're giving 6 points.
It's a decent amount of points to give, but I have a feeling Washington is going to start to become more of what we thought at the beginning of the season. So I think they're going down a little bit. And I like what Buffalo's bringing. What a good position there. And with a win here, and if Pittsburgh beats New England, they're tied at the top, and they have the first win against New England. So Though it's 6 points, I am still going to go with Buffalo in this one.
Me too. And then finally, let's pick Detroit-Denver just because of the Tebow factor. Obviously, people interested in what he'll do. He's at home this week against the Lions, who are coming off back-to-back home losses.
Yeah.
Could be a little ornery, and Ndamukong Suh, the reputation, everything else. Lions at Denver, Lions giving 3.
You know, forgetting the storyline here of Tebow and what direction he's going and Suh and with all the on-field shenanigans people say he's going through, Detroit's just a much better team. Denver's not that good of a team. And I don't just mean talking about Tebow. I mean their whole team is not that good. Detroit is better. Detroit will go to Denver and beat them by more than 3 just because they're a better team, forgetting all the storyline.
No, I'm with you on that as well. I actually think that the spread is a little
late. I was surprised it was only 3.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Okay, that was weird. Guys, someone give me an idea what just happened. Got headphones on. It's 10:53 in the morning. Nothing's happening. There was supposed to be this wonderful Lipton spot right there, and we go right into the VinPix. That didn't happen. Somebody bring me up to speed, guys. What's going on? Ladies and gentlemen, I am not sure what just happened. I really am not. I know you can still hear me. I know we're still connected, but I really don't know what just went on here. So I'm hoping to heaven that this gets resolved, you know, within the next few minutes. But this is weird, guys. We're under 5 minutes. We're supposed to be into the VIN picks, and nothing's happening. Guys, as they like, tell me something good here. Something's out of whack. Let's see. We got that. Let's refresh the studio. Yeah, it looks like this may be a good old-fashioned browser issue, guys.
We're here.
Week 8 in the National Football League, VinPix 2011. Here we go. Seriously? Cardinals at the Ravens. After what had to be the worst performance any Raven fan has ever seen from the highly touted Baltimore Ravens, here come the Cardinals to act as the sacrificial lambs to the highly pissed-off guys from Baltimore. Arizona has no running game, and Larry Fitzgerald will see double and triple coverage. Good luck not fighting wounded birds on the side of the expressway. Baltimore by 9. The game of the day could be the Patriots at the Steelers. Other than watching the Ravens beat Pittsburgh, seeing them get punked in their own crib has to be the next best thing, as I like Tom Brady's chances for picking them apart and sending the AFC North lead back to, of course, the Baltimore Ravens. However, Big Ben's gotten it going, Mike Wallace is for real, and the Steelers have a running game. Patriots defense is questionable. This is going to be the absolute game of the day. And in the end, I hate to say it, but I think the Steelers actually get this win against the Patriots. Jaguars at Texans. Watch Houston prove Jacksonville's pride is short-lived as it begins to look much clearer who is the class of the AFC South. Imagine how much better the Texans will be when wide receiver Andre Johnson returns and the competition in that division is just not there without Peyton Manning. Bottom line, Texans roll. Vikings at Panthers. Another matchup of rookie quarterbacks, with Carolina's Cam Newton having all but locked down the rookie of the year already with his solid play. Minnesota's probably a better team with Christian Ponder now quarterback, and might actually pull this game off, but in the end I still like the Panthers and Cam Newton to win it at home. Dolphins at Giants. Miami still should have the lead in the disgusting so-for-luck sweepstakes, i.e. Stanford and Luck, and they will be a better team if that happens. Meanwhile, in the mediocre NFC East, New York has a good chance as any team of winning that division. That's right, I said mediocre NFC East. Dallas may be the best on paper. The Giants have the better record. Saints at Rams. New Orleans would win this game big, even if St. Louis quarterback Sam Bradford were even healthy. But he's out, and this could get ugly early as one of the worst defenses, i.e. the Rams, has to face one of the best offenses, i.e. Drew Brees and the Saints. Need I even say that the spread on this one's over? It's double digits. Colts at Titans. If this game were in Indianapolis, I might have actually picked the Colts in an upset.
But alas, it's not. No way. Tennessee looks so bad in two straight games at home. Perhaps this ends up being the Titans' Chris Johnson's breakout game of 2011. Finally, CJ2K arrives. Titans roll. Redskins at Bills. Way up north in Toronto, Buffalo has too many weapons and an underrated opportunistic defense that should have enough on both sides of the ball to beat a boring Washington Redskins team that just makes way too many mistakes. Bills roll. Lions at Broncos. I'd love to pick Detroit in this game. Well, and if I see it, I'd love to pick them in the game if they were home. But being on the road in frigid Denver, Tim Tebow, the saga continues to roll with everything he's done. The Lions have been exposed, and Matthew Stafford is a little hurt. So the combination and desire to be more Tebowing may actually win out here. Who am I kidding? Look, the Lions are a better team, guys. That's all it comes down to. And as good as Tim Tebow has been, and guys, the kid wins, the bottom line is the Lions should win this game here. Give me the Lions by 3. Bengals, Seahawks. While I'd like to see Seattle win at home, I am beginning to think that Cincinnati's team, and I know it's their team, is for real. Obviously, the Seahawks are not consistent enough, winning 1 week in New York while losing the next in Cleveland. Give me the Bengals and Andy Dalton and all that weapons and a good defense out of Cincinnati to take care of business on the West Coast today. Browns at 49ers. Speaking of Cleveland, until the Ravens laid their egg last week, everyone here was laughing at the Browns' inability to score. But they did win with only 2 field goals last week against the Seattle Seahawks. That certainly won't be enough at San Francisco as new coach Jim Harbaugh is rolling along and looking to set up what might be one of the better Thanksgiving night games ever when they come to play the Baltimore Ravens. So the Niners should roll over the Browns today. Again, Browns just don't have enough. Colt McCoy, nice guy, nice kid, good story. He needs help. Cowboys, Eagles, this is the Sunday night game, and the all-important NFC East game that could send Philadelphia to the deepest parts of the basement or the muddy waters with no clear favorite in the division if Dallas continues to find a way to pull out the win in the last moment off the arm of Tony Romo. What does all this mean? Mike Vick has to play out of his mind. DeMarco Murray will probably play out of his mind against an Eagles defense that can't stop the run. In the end, I'm going to take the Cowboys in this game. And I'm going to take them. It won't be easy, but give me the Cowboys in about 4 points. Yeah, no, it's not a field goal. I think the Cowboys will probably get out to a decent lead. Vick and those guys will rally to some degree, but I think in the end, DeMarco Murray, the ability to run the ball, Dez Bryant being there, the Cowboys find a way to get this done on the road, which will be a reach. And it's big for both teams, so it'll be a good game tonight. Chargers at Chiefs, the game in Arrowhead. Many people actually have this kind of the game of the strange game, the estranged game of the week, only because people actually think the Chiefs may actually pull this off. The Chiefs are 3-3. The Chargers are 4-2. Kansas City should protect home turf, certainly. National TV, this would definitely be an upset of the week. Arrowhead Stadium is a tremendously tough place to play for visiting teams, especially when on primetime. It will truly be an insane asylum in that stadium. San Diego's gotten off to a decent start for those guys, but quarterback Phillip Rivers has been inconsistent, as evidenced by the Chargers' scoreless second half and losing to the Jets last weekend. If he has a meltdown in the second half today, you could see the Chiefs take this game. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Vincent Jackson, Antonio Gates, I'm not sure if Malcolm Floyd is back, but you know, Ryan Matthews is there. The Chargers should be able to control tempo. They get the ball going on the ground. They should be able to control things and handle their business. And that is your Week 8 Event Picks 2011. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Peace! And that's going to do it for your Week 8 2011 version of the Vin Picks, Stone Cold Vin Picks, or ESPN's version of Stone Cold Hip Hop Locks. I want to thank each and every one of you for participating. Thank you for being a part of the show. 619-639-4747. Put it in your phone. We'll see you next week. All this and more every time we get together, only on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. I am your host, Vinny Moore. Good day, everybody. Your pregame NFL football on Fox and NBC and CBS is all on the way. Have a great day.